Welcome, everyone, to the Heavy Hitters. We are back. I'm Reggie Wade.
I'm Eric Celia.
And after a 2.5-3 week hiatus, the Heavy Hitters are back. And what a week we choose to come back on. And we must say it, it's all over the world. Tim Tebow is a Jet.
Tim Tebow is a Jet. Peyton Manning is a Denver Bronco. Sean Payton is suspended for the year.
My goodness, I mean, what if you were to pick like a perfect sports week that did not involve a game of football, this would be it.
And Mike D'Antoni is out as Knicks head coach.
So much things to talk about.
So many. But Reg, you were under the weather for a little while. How you feeling?
I'm feeling much better. I had a touch of the pneumonia, and it was bad. Tonsils still a little swollen, but I'm good. I'm toughing it out. How are you, Mr. Celia?
I'm doing all right. Listen, my wedding is in about a month here.
Unbelievable. And we've been planning the bachelor party.
Reg, I don't even want to talk about the bachelor party because it's so depressing.
Let's just say we had to make concessions.
Just
folks.
Whatever you people do, don't go back and listen to our earlier episodes when about the bachelor party, because
we were big and bold. And
we were big and bold, and we have been humbled since then. And the reality stinks.
It's like when open school night's approaching. And you tell your friends, I ain't scared of my parents.
Yeah.
I failed those three classes. And then when you're in the halls with your parents,
they beat the hell out of me.
That
yeah.
sheepish look, that we've been humbled. We have been humbled.
Been humbled, absolutely. And you always wind up getting smacked in the head in front of like the hot girl in school.
Yeah, oh, man.
You know, she's walking down the hall, and then your father just cracks you.
Now, that's it. We've been humble. And speaking of humble, that's one of the words to describe the newest New York Jet, Tim Tebow. Humble, but first we must set the table.
Let's set it.
Peyton Manning picks the Denver Broncos. There were three teams in the mix. The Denver Broncos, the San Francisco 49ers, and the third team. What's the third team? Escapes me right now.
Miami Dolphins?
Yes, the Miami Dolphins. And he threw for all three teams.
Tennessee
was in there. He threw his cards on the table, and he liked the situation in Denver, and he goes with the Broncos. Now, the elephant in the room was Tim Tebow was their quarterback.
Right.
And according to Peyton, that was never brought up or discuss. Now, what do you think? Do you think Peyton was a little out of line picking a team that already had a quarterback?
Reg, I'm going to say this. The Peyton Manning free agency saga was, if I had to use two words, LeBron James-ish. Let me use that. Because he had no regard for anybody else. He let San Francisco think he was going there where they played Alex Smith like a fiddle. Okay, mm-hmm. He says he wasn't told about Tim Tebow. Was he living in a cave during the football season? Did he not know Tim Tebow was the quarterback for the Denver Broncos? It's not like you could even say, oh, Manning was focused on the games and he was playing. He didn't really know what was going on. No, he didn't play a snap last year.
I don't think he meant that. What I think he means is that Denver did not bring up that Tim Tebow's our quarterback. They said, listen, if you come here, you got the job. They didn't bring up that there might be a quarterback controversy or that he might stay. That's what I think of his defense.
I mean, he made Miami miss out on Matt Flynn.
Yep.
There was ramifications all the way down the line on what Peyton Manning did. I just didn't like the way he went about it. You know what I'm saying? He went to each different team. He had them fly out and meet him. He did that. Very LeBron James-ish.
And did you see on ESPN, they were actually following the Broncos contingent from when they landed in the North Carolina airport to Duke University.
I felt like I was watching OJ.
Yeah, unbelievable. Instead of the white Broncos.
It was the Denver man. Broncos.
Yeah. Shecky Green over here. What are we, in the Catskills? I love it. You see, this break made us sharp.
Yeah,
you are
sharper.
Sharp today.
I'm ready to go.
Sharper image right here. But anyway, you're right. This was a complete...
I'm Shecky Green.
Hey, yeah. this was a complete circus.
Yeah, it was.
And he picks Denver, and that's the first thing I thought, that that's a little uncharacteristic for Peyton to go to a team that had a quarterback, especially one that's won a playoff game, that the city has fallen in love with. That's the first thing that struck me.
I mean, do you contribute any of it to maybe jealousy of Tebow mania?
Not on his part, on John Elway's part.
I think it's a little bit of both.
I don't think it's on his part.
I think Peyton will gain a little self-satisfaction where, hey, I can make all these people forget about their hero, their legend, Tim Tebow, in the matter of a couple weeks.
I don't think so, because he's had to, I think if anything, if you want to talk jealousy, he's had to deal with watching his brother win two Super Bowls, win one at his house.
Right.
So I don't think that. I think it's John Elway. I think something with John Elway said that he did not want another quarterback being the face of this franchise. Now, Peyton Manning, if he is healthy, he will be tremendous for this franchise. But he will always be an Indianapolis Colt.
Right.
Always.
I agree with that.
John Elway will still be the central figure there. So that's what I think.
I disagree.
That's what I think was his problem. Yeah. I think it's jealousy on John Elway's
part.
On
second thought, I disagree. If somehow Peyton goes there and he goes 3-for-3 in Super Bowls in 3 years that he's there, I think you think of him as a Bronco.
All right, but that's not going to happen. They're going to go 3-for-3 in the Super Bowl.
How do you know?
Three Super Bowls?
What if they bring in Dallas Clark? What if they bring, and he gets
that's
healthy?
That's the name for the Giants to bring up.
And he gets healthy. What if they bring in a Mike Wallace, and now he has Demaryius Thomas, who's one of the best young wide receivers in the game, and a Mike Wallace to throw to with the reliability factor of Dallas Clark?
And that Broncos defense,
which played good for most of the year.
But three Super Bowls, that's a lot.
I'm just saying, he doesn't have much competition in the West. The Chargers are a streaky team. That's the best competition he's got.
No, they'll definitely be in the playoffs every year, but three Super Bowls.
I'm just saying. Tom Brady's getting older.
I think a Super Bowl will come out of this, but I still think that will, in the end, it'll be John Elway's team. He was there his whole career. He took them to 5 Super Bowls, won 2, the drive.
Right. Right.
So that's what I think. I think if it was any jealousy, it was on the part of Mr. Elway. And here's another thing. We have Peyton Manning wearing the number 18,
right,
which is retired.
Right.
Frank Trepuca, right?
Correct.
Now, what do you think about him wearing the number 18?
I don't think it's a big deal.
You don't think it's a big deal? He said, and I quote, you know, I'm an old school guy. When a number's retired, it's retired. And I think it should stay that way. But he said, Mr. Trepuca called me, and he insisted that I wear his number. And he said, I will wear his number. I'll wear it with pride. Well, what do you think? They kind of forced Trepuca's hand here?
No, I don't think so. I don't have a problem with the number game. But just everything that he did was very, I mean, it wasn't as over the top as LeBron. But
LeBron did that one special. It was a 2-hour
special. He did the one special.
Peyton, this was the 4 weeks.
But also, he also gave hope to his home crowd. See, Peyton didn't do that. Peyton wanted to come back. Peyton wanted to stay in Indy. It was management, on the other hand, that wanted him gone.
That is true.
So to that extent, it's a little different. And what it does, Reg, is now all of a sudden the chain reaction starts falling. Matt Flynn goes to Seattle. You have Alex Smith goes back to the Niners when they were close to losing them to the Dolphins.
Yep. Chad
Henne goes. The Dolphins are left out in the cold, basically.
Yeah, they really are.
With nobody.
They signed David Garrard.
I mean, they signed David Garrard. That tells you, I mean, if that's the case, stay with Matt Moore because he didn't play that terrible down the stretch. But it sets off a chain effect, and then it brings us to Tim Tebow. And Tim Tebow to the Jets, to me, tell me what the purpose is. Tell me what the game plan is. What sense does it make on the football field? Because off the football field, Reg, me and you know what it is.
Yep.
Me and you know what it's all about.
Yep. And I've talked about this extensively on my Facebook page with a lot of my friends, especially a lot of Jet fans. And
right.
We were into this exchange, how my friend saw it as a football move. And I said, listen, and I even put it up. I said, in 07, the Giants win, they respond with Brett Favre. 11, the Giants win, they respond with Tim Tebow. I mean, who else are they going to get? RG3, Sean Payton. I mean, Dan Marino. I look at it, and the Yankees, and I hate to throw your beloved Yankees in, they won the World Series in 98. The Mets got Mike Piazza. And what do? They get rid of David Wells, and they put in Roger Clemens. Did they need Roger Clemens? No, they just finished winning the World Series with the greatest record the franchise has ever had. It was a move to keep up, to stay competitive, and that's what the Jets have done. They cannot stand being in the house of the world champions yet again. They said, listen, we have to make a splash. Let's get Peyton. Peyton said no in their face. And then they said, okay, let's get second best. Let's get Tim Tebow and stir things up. And let's do it. Let's do it in front of our quarterback that we just said, you are the franchise.
Here's 5 years, $50 million.
Yeah, we guaranteed. Just gave him a guaranteed contract because his feelings were hurt. And now let's do this in his face. And say, you're still the guy, but we just got Tim Tebow waiting in the wings. And the first interception you throw the Tebow chance will start, and New York City will turn on Mark Sanchez, the likes of which we have never seen.
Reg, you see, here's the problem with the Jets, and it's a carryover from the regular season. And I brought it up a couple weeks ago. I think our last show I brought it up when I compared the Knicks to them in under the D'Antoni era is that they have an identity crisis. Yep. This Jet team still has an identity crisis. What is their number one problem on defense? Do you know?
The Jets' number one problem on defense? I would have to say that they have to blitz too much to create pressure.
Correct. Which means they do not have a down rusher, correct?
Yes.
Why weren't they in the Mario Williams sweepstakes?
Exactly.
Why weren't they in the
Mario? If they want to make the team better.
That's then, you know, exactly. And you know what? That would have made a big buzz.
Yeah.
But it's not big enough for the Jets. They have an identity crisis. What do? They say they want Peyton Manning, right? They say they want Peyton Manning, and Peyton Manning says no in their face, like you said. And then what happens then? Then you hear the talks of Chad Henne. They want to talk to Chad Henne.
Yep.
Then you hear the talks of bringing in, there was somebody else, another quarterback. Who was it?
For the Jets?
Yeah. They were talking to someone else. I don't remember who. Drew Stanton. They tell Drew Stanton to come in. They tell Drew Stanton, you're going to be our backup. You're the guy. You're going to put pressure on Mark Sanchez. They give Mark Sanchez the extension. Oh, Mark Sanchez was our guy for always. We never had any doubt. Lies. Lied through their teeth because Peyton Manning shot him down.
Pants on fire.
Like they were the loser in high school and Peyton Manning was the cheerleader. As my phone goes off there.
Yeah.
But and so this is the problem. Then they bring in Tim Tebow. Why? Why do you bring in Tim Tebow?
Now, but remember before, after Manning shut them down, they said, and I quote Mike Tenenbaum, we are happy with our three quarterbacks.
Right. We are happy with our three quarterbacks. And they bring in Tebow, and they bring in Tebow. Why? Because little brother saying, look at me, look at me, look at me. That's why. And now on the field, it makes no sense. The guy you just gave all this money and this extension to, you have now set up to fail.
Yes.
You have set Mark Sanchez up to fail. And you know what? You've set Tim Tebow up to fail.
Yep.
Okay? This is the death of two potentially good NFL quarterbacks with this signing, with this trade. Okay? Because Mark Sanchez is not going to overcome. Nobody could overcome what's going to happen when Tim Tebow is backing you up. Okay? Because we all know the first sign of trouble, it's Tebow time.
Ask Kyle Lorton about that.
Ask Kyle Lorton. All the crowd wants Tebow. The fans want Tebow. The press wants Tebow. Everyone's going to want Tebow as soon as Sanchez struggles. So what's going to happen? Sanchez is mentally never going to be the same again after that. And he's not going to be a good quarterback. And then Tim Tebow comes in. And me and you both agree we love Tim Tebow, love Reg. Love him to death. Love everything's about. Thinks he's got big time potential. The Jets are quarterback killers. Killers, and I'm not talking about their defense. I'm talking about their coaching staff, their front office. They kill quarterbacks. There's no one there that's going to help Mark's, Tim Tebow develop. Nobody. So once the crowd calls for Tebow, and he wins a couple games here and there, because that's who Tim Tebow is. He will win games you're not supposed to win. But overall, he needs to improve, and he's not going to in that franchise. So that, and Tim Tebow's going to be running out of town. And he's never going to be the same. So just right there, they killed these two guys.
Yep.
The only way I see a way out of this is if Mark Sanchez goes up to management and says, listen, trade me. Trade me. You got yourself Tim Tebow. You got two other backups, Drew Stanton, McElroy, that might play. Trade me. Trade me. And that's the solution to all this because it makes no sense on the football field. You're going to bring in Tim Tebow for 10 plays, 7 to 10 plays a game. What's going to happen? He's going to be great in those 7 to 10 plays. And the crowd's going to go nuts, and they're going to want more. And 10's going to turn to 15. 15's going to turn to 20.
And when Sanchez comes back in, they're going to boo him.
Exactly. And then all of a sudden, now you have two quarterbacks. And then two quarterbacks become a controversy. And then it turns into who's starting, this guy or that guy. And it's a disaster. And it's a circus. And the Jets keep doing what they keep doing. And they keep winning the back page. But you know what? The Giants keep winning Lombardi trophies.
That's right.
And that's how you do it. The Giants stay quiet. The Giants stay humble. The Giants do not make all these flashy moves. The Giants front office runs the team like Coughlin runs the team on the field. You're not going to see flea flickers or reverses as much as we want to see it, as I called for it in the playoffs in the Super Bowl. You're not going to see it because that's not who the Giants are.
Smash mouth, smart football.
You're not going to see a wildcat from the Giants. You're never going to see it.
No.
But that's who the Jets are. They're flashy. Look at me. We're as good as the Giants.
And also, if you want to get deeper into this, Look who they have as the offensive coordinator. Tony Sparano. What is his specialty? The Wildcat.
Right.
Who do you think he's going to back? And who do you think he's going to write this playbook for? Someone who's going to have to be a drop-back passer or someone that can run his dream of an offense?
Absolutely.
So Sanchez may be fighting the offensive coordinator as well.
Yep. And it's sad. It's sad because everyone, you're going to have your Tebow guys, you're going to have your Sanchez guys, and it's going to be a disaster. It is a powder keg, Reg.
It is.
It's a powder keg, and it's going to explode.
Like they taught us in school in World War One, the powder keg.
The powder keg. It's going to explode. I mean, am I wrong here?
No.
What football sense can you make of this? Tebow can run the Wildcat. Yes. Okay. Is that the benefit? Is that why you're bringing him in? Are you going to bring him in for his locker room skills? Is he going to turn this locker room around? That you already have Cromartie tweeting, we don't want this guy. We don't need this guy.
You know what? Instead of the national anthem, the first jet game at MetLife Stadium, they should just say, ladies and gentlemen, instead of the national anthem, Britney Spears is coming out to sing her hit song Circus.
Yeah.
Because that's what it's going to be. This is going to be to the likes of which we have not seen. And you know what? It's gonna be like watching a train wreck. You can't take your eyes off of it.
I know. I'm gonna watch it. I am. I'm gonna watch it.
Yeah.
But are the Jets?
They come
that,
on at one. We come on at four.
But the Jet fans are good. The Jet fans are somewhat faithful. Do you need to pull this off of your fans? I don't see the logic in it. Like it says in one of my favorite Journey songs, "Faithfully, circus life in a big top world." I mean, that's what's going on over there. Yep. In Jet Camp, it's so unbelievable. I just can't fathom any kind of logical explanation for this. Yep.
And you know what? And this is something else that we had alluded to on Facebook. And another thing, if the Jets really want to get better, how about getting a new coach? With Rex Ryan, and I brought this up, anyone could be a Rex Ryan. And
right.
I said, I've even taken up for the job. I can put on a vest. I'm just as fat as Rex Ryan, even fatter. I could yell.
I don't know about that.
I could yell and scream and say that my team is the best, and then we'll lose, and I'll do it for half his salary. Anyone can be a Rex Ryan. Rex Ryan is detrimental to this team because he writes checks that they have to cash,
and
they cannot.
Problem. If he doesn't open his mouth, I look at it as a success.
Yeah.
But he's the one who's saying Super Bowl or bust.
It's not Sanchez.
He's the one setting the expectation. It's not the papers. It's not the fans. He is the one saying Super Bowl or bust. So guess what? When you don't win a Super Bowl, it's a bust.
Yeah, exactly.
No matter how many title games you've been to.
Exactly.
With that being said, I don't think you get rid of him yet because I do think he's earned the right to coach this year out because of the two previous trips.
But
so not saying he's a good coach, not saying he's going to be a great coach, not saying he's going to win a Super Bowl, but with two trips to the title game, he's earned the right for a fourth year of coaching.
They don't make the playoffs with this schedule, I think he should be gone.
Oh, after this year, all bets are off.
Yeah.
And for the GM, too.
Yeah, Tenenbaum, I think gone. And it's just, you know, as Jet fans, you know, and you can listen to us at Podomatic.com, iTunes, Tumblr. Please comment because we want the Jet fans' perspective here. Do you think this is a good move or a bad move for the Jets? What do you think about Tebow? You love him? You hate him? Well, because we as Giant fans, we're outsiders looking in, and we have our opinions, but we want to feel what the Jet fans are feeling.
Right.
So make sure you comment at us.
Comment on the show. Whatever. Me and Reggie will probably put up personal posts on Facebook or Twitter. You could comment on those as well. We'll read them on the air.
Yep.
And get your opinion, because we do want the Jet fans' opinion. We do want to know what the Jet fan is thinking in all of this.
Yes.
And get some kind of feedback on.
I think we got to bring a Jet fan in here.
Well, we might have to. We might have to. But with all that being said, Reg, a couple questions come up, and we've talked about this last night on the phone.
Mm-hmm.
What this does for me, it creates quite the conundrum. And now I'm torn. As you know, my hatred for the Jets and my hatred for Rex Ryan is
paramount.
So paramount. And now I also have a man crush on Tim Tebow.
Yes, you do.
I have a bromance with him. Exactly. That's my broski.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's my guy, Tim Tebow. Do I now root for the Jets because Tim Tebow's there and I want to see Tim Tebow succeed and I want to see him do good? Or do I turn my back on my broski, Tim Tebow, and continue my hatred for the Jets?
This is what you do. If Sanchez is in, you root against them because you want to see Tebow in. You hope these people turn on Sanchez, as I predicted they will, and then Tebow comes in. And I think if Tebow has any measure of success, I think he will be the cleanser of that team. The Jets are, just by their attitude, they're like a team almost like a foul mouth. They're almost dirty. And Tim Tebow will cleanse that organization. and he's the first step. So you root against them, and when Tebow goes in, you root for Tebow. Of course, not against our G-men.
No, G-men of course
first
not.
And foremost. And if I catch you in a Tim Tebow jersey, then
was going to be my next question. Am I allowed to wear a Jets Tebow jersey?
No, you wear a throwback Broncos Tim Tebow.
I don't know if I could do that. All right, question. Mm-hmm. Question. You gave me the answer. I'm going to answer your answer with another question. Mm-hmm. Fourth and goal. Jets down 4. 8-yard line. Rex pulls Sanchez. Brings in Tebow. 3 seconds left on the clock. Tim Tebow drops back. Does a draw. He's heading to the end zone. There's one guy to beat. I'm thinking, do I root, as he's running towards that goal line, do I root for a Tebow touchdown and a Jets win? Or do I root for him to get tackled and the Jets lose?
I mean, that's so open-ended. Who are they playing? Does that affect the Giants in
any
way?
No way. No way. It's against the Dolphins.
Oh, yes. Then you root for.
Root for him.
Yes, I would.
So root for the Jet win. And then give a little fist pump when he gets in the end zone. Like, yeah, that's my boy.
Yeah, and then you root for on the... how much time is left?
That's it. Time expired.
Oh, time expired. That's a little different.
Yeah, time expired. Ends the game, or it's an overtime.
All right. Listen to this. That he gets it, but there's a penalty. there is a defensive penalty. So Tebow has proven that he can do it in crunch time. Then the next play is a fumble, and the Dolphins recover. And they win by 4. But Tebow has been, so that's what you have to be rooting for.
Got it.
That there is a defensive penalty. The game cannot end on defensive penalty. And that's it.
Got it. But that's not the only NFL news, Reg.
No.
As we all know, in New Orleans, the hammer has been dropped by the commissioner.
And one saint said on Twitter, I'm not even going to use Bounty paper towels anymore. They are running scared. Bounty Gate. Sean Payton suspended, unprecedented, for a year without pay.
Now, let me interrupt you real quick here to set the table, as you did for me earlier.
Yes.
I'm going to set the table for you now. How did this come about? How did this get leaked into the media?
Well, this is very interesting. Warren Sapp, former NFL great Warren Sapp,
Hall of Famer, right?
Yes, on Twitter, tells one of his friends, I found out who the snitch was. And his friend goes, Shockey? He goes, bingo. Jeremy Shockey is supposedly the rat in this situation.
Are you surprised?
I kind of thought it was Drew Brees because they were going to franchise him. But no, I'm not surprised. After the stuff he pulled with the Giants and with Eli,
that surprising.
Seems definitely within his character.
Absolutely.
And Shockey tried to defend himself. He goes, wow, what a joke. It's not me. I don't even play defense. I play offense. Warren Sapp said it doesn't matter what you play. So supposedly he's the snitch. He gave them all of these things. Supposedly they have numbers. Someone paid $5,000 to knock Aaron Rodgers out of a game. That was the number. And this stinks to high heaven. And Shockey apparently is the snitch. Can that guy get it right in the NFL?
No, he can't, Reg. He can't. He really can't.
Unbelievable. After he left with the sour taste on both parts of mouth with the Giants, he wins the Super Bowl there. And everybody's thinking, all right. Shockey, he may be becoming a good guy, and now he gets implicated. Whether it's true or not, just to be thought of so low that you would be a snitch. I mean, I think that speaks to his character and reputation.
That's the worst thing a person could be, is a snitch.
It is.
And it's shocking.
It is.
But now, do you think the punishment handed down by Roger Goodell is fitting? Or do you think it's unfair? Do you think it's too much?
No, it's great. You have to be high-handed to make sure people don't. Like the guy said, I'm not even going to use Bounty paper towels. And also, every team, I know this is just for press and for bells and whistles and giggles, but every team has to now submit in writing before the season starts to Roger Goodell that they did not participate in any bounty program.
And I think the thing that pissed off Goodell the most mm-hmm. was the fact that he asked the Saints to stop. And they said, we're not doing anything, we will stop, nothing's even going on. Mm-hmm. And they lied straight to his face.
Exactly.
And that really made him enforce.
And they said he's been high-handed, but listen, he's doing what he has to do.
Yeah.
He's the commissioner, he's the boss. If he wavers on a situation like that, all hell breaks loose. And you know what? And a lot of these hits, somewhere after the whistle, a lot of them are clean hits. But that brings up a conversation like this. Hey, you hear they're giving out bounties? I can make extra money. You know how I can do it even better? If I use steroids, I could be a little quicker. I could be a little stronger and quicker. Mm-hmm. I could really get to that quarterback. So let me use steroids to do this. So that opens up a whole another bag of cats. So,
another bag of cats.
Yeah, people say bag of cats.
Never heard that.
The lady that throws her cats.
Yeah, I know her. Cats. I never heard a bag of cats.
It's bag of cats. Come on.
I heard a can of worms. Is that what you were going for?
No, bag of cats. Opens well, that's a horse of a different feather.
I've heard the cat is out of the bag.
Eric, you gonna get jerky with me?
No, really.
My tonsils are swollen here.
Do you ever think about having tonsil surgery, getting them removed?
No, never.
Why not?
It's worse as an adult.
Really?
Yes, very.
Some people say that it's good, though, when you know you get them removed.
Yeah, it is, but then my voice would change. I'm not ready for it. I don't want my voice to change again.
You might sound like Barry White, then.
Or I might go the other way.
Like Urkel?
See, I can't do that. I'm too big to have a voice like that.
Right.
Yeah, but
I know a big guy who has a voice like that.
Who?
I can't say his name.
Oh, I thought you meant like someone like a... celebrity or something. But you know what? This is a perfect time to go to the break because there is so much we have to dissect, not only with the NFL. We have to look at where this sets up the teams, the balance of power, and we also have to talk about Mike Woodson and the new look Knicks.
Wood sanity, ladies and gentlemen.
I think they're going to have us passing out headbands.
And tell me that it wasn't the coach one more time, Reg. Yeah, tell me it wasn't the coach.
We're going to talk about all of that, how Carmelo quit on the team, all of that, and in this break, you're going to tell me who has the squeaky voice that's big. All right, we are back on the Heavy Hitters. I'm Reggie Wade.
I'm Eric Celia. We are back here on the Heavy Hitters. I'm Eric Celia.
And I'm Reggie Wade.
And Reg, you know the first half of the show was good when we work up a sweat and need a couple of drinks of water.
Then. Yeah, we really did. We had to go in the next room, sit by the water cooler.
I mean, I got heated. These Jets really got to me.
Yeah, they do. Keep
polishing those trophies, though, you know?
Yeah, you know, the one, you know what? You know how Rex Ryan covered the Super Bowl logos?
Yeah.
Are the Giants not, well, he has one more to cover up. And did they even have Super Bowl logos when the Jets won?
I don't think so.
I don't think they did.
No.
I don't even think they had that full game on tape still. I think they recorded, like, Heidi or something over it, I think.
But, Reg, that brings us to the balance of power here in the AFC now. What are you thinking here?
You know what? The Broncos, I think, are going to be the...
immediate contenders.
I say the Broncos have to be looked at, immediate contenders, them, and the Patriots. I mean, it could be Peyton, Tom Brady again. That's what I really think. What about you?
I mean, it could be. Listen, that happened in the game before the AFC Championship with Tebow, with those two teams.
It did.
So why can't it happen in the AFC Championship with Peyton?
It can. And I think if you look at the NFC, I think that's one reason, besides not wanting to play his brother, the NFC is pretty stacked. I mean, you have now the world champion Giants. You have Philadelphia making moves. You have all these teams with strong defenses. When Jay Cutler comes back with Chicago, you have so many teams that can make a run in the NFC. I just think we're going to see NFC dominance.
I'm surprised at you, Reg.
What?
Surprised you didn't mention, you talked about the Eagles. I'm surprised you didn't mention your other, you talk about me with a man crush and me with a bromance. I'm surprised you didn't talk about the other move that was made in the NFC East. Well, it's going to be made in a couple weeks in the NFC East.
What, the draft move?
Yes.
Oh, yes. How could I forget? And the Redskins are going to draft who I love, RG3. So in one division.
Who I think you're overhyping a little bit too much.
You're going to, and tell me what, you're going to have RG3. Michael Vick, Tony Romo, and Eli Manning. Unbelievable.
That's a pretty stacked.
Now, why do you think I'm overhyping RG3? Did you see him throw? He can throw. His throwing numbers are similar to Andrew Luck. He's a world-class athlete. He's qualified Olympic hurdler. The kid has the right attitude. He's not smug, unlike that Andrew Luck. Comes from a military family, discipline. What downside do you see in Mr. Griffin III?
Consistency and health.
That's the downside you see?
Those are the downsides.
I think he'll be consistent. I think he'll be healthy.
I think you always got to worry about health with a running quarterback. Always. Look at Michael Vick. Look at Steve Young, who was running quarterback who was forced to retire early.
One, now we have those concussion rules that we have now.
Right, which is even worse.
And two, well, Steve Young was in the era, oh, you got a concussion, go back out there. So the quarterback wasn't protective. And RG3 is a bigger guy. Steve Young, Michael Vick, smaller guys. RG3 is built like a man, and I think he could withstand. That's the kind of frame you want on a running quarterback. I thought Cam Newton was a bit frail. He did a good job of bulking up, and I think that's the frame. I think we can have a Cam Newton on our hands here.
You might be right. You might be right. Not too many cams out there.
I think it is so wrong, even though I love Tebow with Tebow mania and everything, that Cam Newton, what he did this year, was swept under the rug. One of the, not only one of the greatest seasons of a quarterback's had, one of the greatest rookie season of a quarterback, and it swept under the, this man could be the premier quarterback in the NFL.
I would throw Matthew Stafford in that discussion as well.
No, of course. But Stafford, I think, got his due because he took him to the playoffs.
I don't think he got his due at all.
I think he did because how much was made that they finally made the playoffs? That was a big story.
Matthew Stafford had 40-plus touchdowns and 15-minus interceptions and did not make the Pro Bowl.
Yep.
Cam Newton got his deserve it. He went to the Pro Bowl.
No, all right. But I think Matthew Stafford did get his due. And plus, Matthew Stafford had been around a couple of years. Cam Newton out the box was doing this.
Yeah, but still. Still.
Cam Newton could be one of the all-time greats. The kid can do it all.
Could do it all. Reminds me of a Randall Cunningham.
Playing
could throw and run.
Day one in the NFL like he's been playing 10 years.
It's true.
And that's another thing, the NFC. The Carolina Panthers will be a playoff contender. 6 wins last year.
Yeah, it depends on that defense, though.
It depends what they do in the draft. But if they bring the pieces around that centerpiece, I think that it's a team
that defense is shaky.
Yeah, it is. They really have to. They have to draft strong, and they have to bring in some quality free agents, I think.
But that's the NFL.
Yep.
And we move from a season that is over, and is still the buzz of the sports world. Move from that to a season that is now in progress, is in full swing. And that, of course, is the NBA. And, Reg, the big news there, I've been calling for it. I've been hoping. I've been praying. I've been wishing.
You've been Tebowing.
I've been Tebowing. I've done it all to get Mike D'Antoni out of town. And no sooner do I put a Facebook status on my Facebook saying that people need to lay off Carmelo. It's all Mike D'Antoni. He needs to go. Not even 20 minutes later, Reg, as if they were reading Eric Celia from the world-famous Heavy Hitters podcast, reading my posts, they say, you know what? Let's get this guy Mike D'Antoni out of town. He claims he quit. And that's the other thing, Reg, here, because now you made me mad before the break here. You want to say Carmelo quit on the team? You want to say all the rest of the Knicks quit on the team? Mike D'Antoni was the guy who walked away like a 12-year-old girl. Mike D'Antoni is the guy who went off crying into the woods because he couldn't handle it. You know what Mike Woodson does? Mike Woodson pulls Amari to the bench when he makes a mistake, gets in his face, and yells at him. Mike Woodson gives Carmelo looks and yells at Carmelo and tells him he better buy in and show effort on defense. Mike Woodson don't care how much money you make, how big of a star you are. He doesn't care about any of that. He will get in your face and he will tell you how it is, which is more than I could say for that wuss, Mike D'Antoni, who quit on this team like a Mary. Like a Mary.
All right. One, if you look at it, what you're saying on your Facebook status, I think I may be able to take a little claim. I was at work over at ESPN, and I had my Facebook on the page, and I left, and that was the day that they had the Knicks GM tour the studio, and I think, that is a complete fabrication.
No, they seen it.
No.
They seen it, Reg.
Now, here, and I have to eat a little humble pie. I thought that the problem was that Carmelo Anthony was past his prime. That's what I thought. But I didn't know is that he quit on his team so he could get... That's what I didn't know, which
Reg,
I think is worse.
Reg.
The man quit on his team to get D'Antoni fired, and when the superstar got his way, then he said, oh, I'll play. Talk
Reg.
About LeBron James being a prima donna.
Reg, you couldn't be more off.
Oh, well.
You couldn't be more off. They just didn't... Most of the team didn't fit the system.
And when Linsanity was going on, they fit the system. What happened with that?
Lin fit the system. Jeremy Lin fit
when they
the
won
system.
seven in a row, they didn't fit the system?
No.
And then Carmelo came, didn't like the coach, and said, you know what? I'm just
going
to go through the motions.
Come on, Reg. You're better than that. You're better than
You're
that.
You're better than that.
You're better than that.
Talk about LeBron James being a prima donna.
Carmelo Anthony has done nothing but play his heart out the last 5 games.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Nothing. Played his heart out. He's a different player.
Yes, because now he cares. He wanted the coach to get fired, so he said, listen, I'm going to go through the motions, me and this coach. And like you said, and it's true, his system didn't work for Carmelo, but instead of trying to work around it, he said, I'm just going to quit on this guy.
Reg, Carmelo Anthony.
And talk about someone
Carmelo
who quit.
Anthony.
I think he was forced out. I think D'Antoni was forced out.
Carmelo, maybe Carmelo Anthony was just ahead of the curve. You ever think of that?
No.
Maybe Carmelo Anthony, who played for possibly two of the most brilliant basketball minds of this generation in George Karl and Jim Boeheim, knew that this system was a fraud. It's a sham. They weren't going anywhere. This coach is a fraud and a sham. So you know what? I'm going to dog it a little bit so he gets out, so we actually have a chance of winning.
But that's...
That's ahead of the curve.
A player should never do that.
Reg, the guy was nothing. D'Antoni had nothing for this team. He lost this team. That says more about the coach than the players. We see it all the time in the sports world. Coach loses the locker room. Coach loses the team. It happens all the time, Reg. That's it. More indicative of the coach than it is the players.
Nope. Rex Ryan lost his team. He didn't resign. I think the man was forced out. That's my point.
Listen, are the Red Sox, is Josh Beckett and John Lester, are they losers? Do you have no respect for them? Francona lost the team down the stretch. That's his fault. And that's it.
But
and they're gone.
Need to have discipline too.
Of course. But that's the part of the problem. What discipline did D'Antoni give this team when they did give him problems? Zero. Nope. Mike Woodson holds players accountable. That is the difference between the two. There's two main differences here, Reg. One, Mike Woodson preaches and lives on defense, which Knicks fans love, and Knicks fans are all about defense. And two, he holds his players accountable. Mike D'Antoni never did any of that.
See, Knicks fans are about winning. Whether you win with D'Antoni style or Mike Woodson style,
at the end of the day, they don't care. Couldn't win with D'Antoni style. They couldn't.
You still shouldn't dog on your coach. And like I
said, it happens all the time in sports.
Do you think he really left willingly? I think he was forced out.
I think it was a combination of things.
When he wasn't at the press conference, I said, you know.
I think he might have asked for an extension, and they didn't give it to him. And
in what world did he think he deserved an extension?
I don't know.
What's he think? He's Sanchez? There's only one person in New York that gets extensions for not doing anything. That's Mark Sanchez. And let's get that right.
If you know your hockey, Rick DiPietro also gets like a 15-year contract for not playing any time.
15 years? What's wrong with hockey?
But
didn't he get beat up, Slick Rick?
Probably.
Yeah, I think he got beat up really bad and he was out for a while.
But listen,
hockey.
The coach, it's obvious the problem was the coach. I mean, it's obvious. And what I love the most...
They won 7 with D'Antoni in a row. They won 5 with... Let's see how long this goes.
What I love with Woodson... This is what I love about Woodson. He says, I'm running my offense through my guys, through Amari and Carmelo, the two superstars. D'Antoni wants to run it through Oshkosh B'gosh over there. Who the heck knows who D'Antoni wants to run his system to? D'Antoni wants to get across the line as fast
as
possible.
Jeremy Lin is Oshkosh B'gosh now, I remember.
No. He wants to run it through more than Jeremy Lin.
Oh, man, these New York fans, you turn Linsanity was...
I'm a Jeremy Lin guy. I think Jeremy Lin is the point guard of the present, the future.
And I just how rabid this Tim Tebow, this is... Tim
but
Tebow,
I don't
I
think
you're listening.
But I don't this think... No, I don't think Jeremy Lin... Is the answer in crunch time. Give it to your superstars. Guys, Carmelo has made a career over being clutch in the fourth quarter. Amari is one of the best finishers in the game. Give it to these guys. Instead of trying to reduce their shots and reduce their touches, which makes no sense whatsoever, that's like Eric Spoelstra saying, oh, you know what, I'm going to give less touches to LeBron and Wade. I'm going to share the ball more.
Oh, we're not even putting those two in the same category.
Why?
Are we?
Well, yeah, you're right. Carmelo's better than LeBron.
Please, people, my good friend Eric Celia.
Now, wait a second.
Really a sports expert.
You want, You're trying to tell me LeBron James didn't quit on Mike Brown? And not only did he quit on Mike Brown, he quit on him in the playoffs. He stood there in the playoffs and quit on his coach. And then as soon as they got eliminated, he threw the guy under the bus. And then he left.
That's wrong.
And then he left.
That's wrong.
So how do you say to me before, not even LeBron James, that did what Carmelo did? No, LeBron James did it twice as worse. You're right, Rich.
I didn't say...
Twice as worse.
I didn't say LeBron didn't do what I did. But
and then
I said
he left.
Prima donna.
They make him bring in another coach and then he leaves.
What I say prima donna, they're both prima donnas. That's what they do. They throw fits. And I like LeBron James, but he's a prima donna.
But let's get to on the court here, Reg. Five in a row, as you mentioned. This team's looking good. They're holding team the five wins. I think every team was held under 90 points.
But, I mean, how long does this go? And if you guys want to
read... If they play defense, I think it goes long.
If you guys want to read any Knicks articles, right now for 212sports.com, you can read my articles on the Knicks. And I'm mulling something around. How long can this go? See, with the Knicks, you never know. It's like a box of chocolate. You don't know what you're going to get. They seem like a very streaky team, and I don't know whether they're going to reach the promised land or whether they're going to miss the playoffs. I don't know.
I love that you said that. You know why I love that you said that? Because I just got deja vu. I got deja vu on a Wednesday after week 15, and the Giants are 7-7, and they just got run out of their own building by the Washington Redskins, and Reggie Wade goes, "This is a streaky team. I don't know if they're going to make the playoffs or win a championship. I don't know who this team is." And then guess what? The streakiness caught on fire at the right time, and they went all the way. Yep. And I've been making the comparisons all year, Reg. I've been making the comparisons. And by the way, Justin Tuck, you bring him up. Real quick shout out to Justin Tuck, who on Twitter was decked out in all Ranger gear saying he's in full hockey mode. That is big time from Justin Tuck.
That is big time,
two thumbs up from me. But I've been making the comparisons all year, Reg. This team has got a lot of similarities to that Giant team. And I said if they gel and they get healthy at the right time, watch out.
But is this the right time?
It might be a little too early. Might be a little early.
That's what I'm saying.
Might be a little early.
But you just, it's going to be a fun ride, but you just don't know with these Knicks. They got to keep you on your toes.
Right. Absolutely. But the defense, Reg, if the defensive effort is there, you know they got the offense to win games. You know you got J.R. Smith, who's starting to become a beast. J.R. Smith is woken up.
You know,
and I love it.
And something I seen with J.R. Smith and Baron Davis got in his face. J.R. Smith tries to be a little too cute. You see Baron Davis hit somewhere behind the back pass, and then he tries to hit Shumpa with a little shuffle, and they don't score. And Baron Davis was like, "Listen, take the shot." I like J.R. Smith, but he tries to be a little too cute sometimes. And I think that's something that Woodson has to cut down on. Let's stop trying to be cute and take the open shot.
First of all, Baron Davis has no right to tell anybody to stop being cute on the court, because the guy hasn't let one minute of a game go by where he doesn't dribble behind his back since he's come back. Right. Okay? He needs to cut down on his mistakes and his fancy play himself.
As the point guard, when he's there, he's the leader on the floor.
He is the leader on the floor.
But of that second unit.
What's good for the goose is good for the gander.
But that's the only thing with you. And you know what?
And Novocaine. I mean, does the guy ever miss?
He's lights out.
I don't think he's missed a shot ever in his life. Oh, I think every shot he's taken has gone in.
Come on. What's his name?
Novocaine? He's better than Steve Kerr.
Novocaine, let's hold on. Yeah.
Better than Tony Kukoc.
Oh, come on.
He's better
but,
than...
But,
Am I touching a cord?
That's the man from Splits, Croatia.
Am I touching a cord with your old Bulls there?
A little bit. If you say he's like Scottie Pippen, we're going to go to war here. But no, but... Another thing, these Knicks with their defense, I mean, they're playing good defense, but
great defense.
I wish they would just foul a little less. Sometimes they get a little sloppy, almost like what Miami does, where you can play stiff, but know when to let the hand up so you don't hit them. That's what I think. They're letting guys go to the line too much.
And that's all part of the learning curve. And speaking of the line, boy, that's one thing they need to fix in a hurry, because they are brutal at the line.
Landry Fields, my goodness.
Landry Fields cannot hit a free. Carmelo's been awful at the line.
Yep.
I mean, they've just been terrible. And when you're in the playoffs, you need to make your free throws.
Yeah, Tyson Chandler's pretty good at the line.
He's been getting better. Amari's his normal 80-something percent. Lynn has been doing great on free throws. I think he's hit like something like close to 20 in a row. Yeah,
that was a bugaboo a little bit when he came up.
Right, but he's starting to hit them. But now everyone else is missing. J.R. Smith, Carmelo, Chandler, Fields. I mean, all these guys are starting to miss
more. You
have
to get the free shots when you can.
Exactly. Those are points hanging on the board. But the depth of this team is what we were talking about the last time. That's something they have a clear advantage over half the teams.
You know what was something scary, though? They were winning 9-0. It took almost to the end of the quarter for Philadelphia to get their first field goal. And they only beat them by what, 4 points?
3 points, yeah.
3 points. I mean, it's
the... Well, that's because in the second and third quarter, the Knicks went just as cold as Philly was in that first.
So I think that's a microcosm of the Knicks season. They're streaking in one game. forget one span. You can look in one game and see the greatness of the Knicks, see them at their best, and then see them at their worst.
But that's a gutty win, Reg. That's a gutty, gutsy win. That's a Philadelphia 76ers game. That's like what the Giants. That's like what the Giants did to the 49ers. They beat San Francisco in their own kind of game. That's what the Knicks did last night. They beat Philly in a Philly game. And that's you got to love that. As ugly and sloppy as it was, you got to love it.
Now, we take the focus from basketball, and I think it's going to be a great finish to this season. And we actually have to talk a little fantasy baseball.
Fantasy baseball. Me and Reg have a very, very good team. We have studs on studs on studs.
The heavy hitters in full effect.
Full effect. And you know who our biggest stud is, who I think we paid decent price for it. I think he's going to give us a great year. And that's got to be the guy we're going to tell you about on the other side of the break.
All right.
When we get back. I'm Eric Celia.
I think I know who you're talking about.
I think you do,
too. And I'm Reggie Wade. See you after the break. Welcome back to the Heavy Hitters. I'm Reggie Wade.
I'm Eric Celia.
And we are talking fantasy baseball. As you know, the Heavy Hitters team dominated in football. We won the points. We won the Super Bowl to 11-1-1 record. We dominated.
Hashtag Heavy Hitters all day.
And now we take that same intensity and we bring it to the world of fantasy baseball. And we think it's going to pay big dividends. And Eric's getting ready to tell us of a guy who he thinks is going to carry us this year. I think I know who it is.
Reg, it's got to be one Alex Rodriguez.
I think so. We got him, what, $25?
$25 for A-Rod. And the auctioneer of the draft told us A-Rod's going $41.20. Mark it down, guaranteed.
And
I happen to agree.
Yep. We got him. We got King Felix. Let's go around
the team here. I can't remember all the pitching. I'll do my best on the pitching, but let's go around the actual team here.
Mm-hmm.
Catching, we got Matt Wieters.
Who was on ESPN fantasy guru Matt Berry, the 20 players that he's looking to get for his own league? Wieters was his catcher.
I expect big things out of him this year. First base, we have a young and upcoming stud who I love. Reg, you know, I talked about him going into the draft. I talked about him all draft. I think he's going to be tremendous. Guy, he's got some talent. Even our good buddy Howie turned to us and said, you got a good player there.
I've seen him play. This kid is something else.
And that's Eric Hosmer. Eric Hosmer of the Kansas City Royals. He is going to be a beast. That whole team, Alex Gordon, Eric Hosmer, they got a nice young core there. Mm-hmm. Then we go to second base. Second base, we took, who's that second baseman, Reg?
We have Ricky Weeks.
Ricky Weeks. Yep. There you go. Ricky Weeks is our second baseman, so we get some pop and some steals out of that. Shortstop.
Jose.
All right, Jose Reyes is our shortstop, and if he gets hurt, I'm going to wind up.
Jose Guillen, after all of that.
I'm going to wind up shooting myself if he blows a hammy halfway through the year.
Yep.
We paid, what, 38 for him?
Yeah, pretty penny.
Third base, we got A-Rod, like I was saying, for 25, who I think is going to be a monster.
And we got a backup third baseman, too.
Backup third baseman. We have our corner. Was that our corner?
Corner, yep. Ryan Zimmerman.
I forgot about Ryan Zimmerman. Yes. Got a nice memory there. Who we, of course, expect big things from.
Yeah.
That whole national team is going to be good, man. They're going to be a good team. Yeah. That leaves the Mets in the basement.
Yes.
then we go to the middle infielder. We got, Jamail Weeks.
Yes, we have the entire
So we got the Weeks
family.
Brothers. I like Jamail Weeks. Good average guy. Steals some bases. Big young prospect out in Oakland. I like him. And then we go to our outfield. And our outfield is our weak spot of our team, I think, Reg.
Well, first we got to talk about we have a good DH, which we think.
Big Poppy.
Yeah.
Big Poppy at the utility.
Yeah.
Who was our other utility?
Jason Bay.
No, he wasn't in utility. He was in our outfield.
He was?
I can't recall the other utility. I think it was a second baseman or a shortstop.
Yeah.
Oh, Derek Jeter. Derek Jeter.
How could we forget?
So there you go. That's our other utility. And then the captain, who I think will give us nice, average.
Solid numbers.
And then the outfield, which I say is our weak spot, Reg. We got Jason Bay.
Yes.
We got Nick Swisher.
Mm-hmm.
We got Carl Crawford.
Carl Crawford, yes.
Let's see. Two other outfielders.
Bay Carl Crawford.
Bay Crawford Swisher.
No, we should have really had that.
Should have brought it with us.
Yeah.
Bad planning on our part.
Yeah, that's all right. You know, we go spur of the moment on this show.
Yeah, we can't.
That's what I think our fans love us. It's our endearing nature.
We'll bring the list next week. Can't recall the other two outfielders right now. Shows you how good they are.
Yeah.
But the pitching, I can't even remember half the pitching. The key guys in the pitching is Nova and King
Nova
Felix.
Came, baby.
And King Felix. And so we got a good team, Reg. I think we'll be all right. You know, a couple deals here and there to improve our outfield, improve our pitching, and we're going to be right there.
And I mean, the draft was fun as usual, you know.
For sure.
Yeah, you see old faces, and it's you never left.
You know, it's the best night of the year, really.
It's like being in Cheers. You walk in, everyone knows your name.
That's it.
I've been the auctioneer of that league many times. I've been in the league this time. I was back in the league, and it felt good to be in the fold.
This is your third out of the 5 years you've been in it.
Yes.
Right? The first year you partnered up with, I believe, Sal Malone.
Huh.
Right?
Yeah, that was, And he left halfway in, and Menino had to be my partner.
And then I think the second year.
We didn't hear about Sal till Facebook came back on.
Right. And then the second year, I don't think you were in it. The third year.
I was the auctioneer.
No, the third year you partnered up with me.
Yeah.
Last year you were the auctioneer.
Yeah.
And then this year, under
twice
a different name.
I was the auctioneer. Was the auctioneer with Greg.
The second and the fourth.
Yeah, and then with Joe Morales.
Right. The second and the fourth year you auctioneered. The first, third, and now fifth, you were two of those you partner with me.
Yep.
But this time we're under the heavy hitters label, so we're going to be unstoppable.
We are. Unstoppable, like Mano.
Mano.
Unstoppable.
But listen, that's it for this week in sports.
How good did it feel... to get back in the saddle. Oh,
it's so good. It feels so good. I missed it here.
We may have a little rust. I'm sorry, our fans, if we sound a little rusty, but we're getting back in the flow, but it felt good to be back in our customary positions.
Right. We're like progressive, baby. Call us flow.
Feel like Scott Hudson, Tony Schiavone for you old school WCW. He used to say in our customary positions.
No Larry Zbyszko?
Larry Zbyszko, the living legend. He was in there. They plugged a lot of guys in that third spot. Bobby the Brain, Zbyszko.
Listen, we're like 11 days away from WrestleMania.
We really are. And you, I have a feeling that it's gonna be great. But something in me is like they're gonna do something.
They're gonna blow it.
They're gonna blow it because WWE as of late cannot have a good. They say things are too good.
Yeah.
And this script writes itself too perfect. Let's do something like having the WWE title match in the beginning, just to skew things up. Let's save the.
That's
Divas,
the rumor, by the way.
Let's save the Divas match for second to last. And they do things. They collapse under the weight of their own genius. They're like Vincent Van Gogh.
I agree.
Yeah.
I agree, but it should be fun. We'll break that down for you, too.
Yep.
But that's it for this week. We'll be back next week. We should be back on a regular basis.
Yeah, we
no
should
Reg?
Be. Yep.
Back in the flow here. Back in the New York groove, yeah.
That's right.
Nah, I don't know what that was. Everybody, tune in next week. Same bad time, same bad channel. But you know what? Reg, what do you think about trying some calls next week?
I think that may be good. I think we're ready to
you
go.
Think we're ready?
Yes.
You think we're ready to go toe-to-toe with some of our listeners here?
I think so.
We'll put the number up. Hey, listen, this is what we'll do. We'll plan a regular show, right? We'll put the number up on Facebook. Nobody calls us. We'll just go on with our regular show. We get a call. We'll answer. We'll talk. We'll see what they got to say, and we'll go on from there.
All right.
Sound like a plan?
Sounds like a plan.
Beautiful. Things are starting to go. Pick up here.
Yep.
Like I said, same bad time, same bad channel. Reg, bring us home.
We're the heavy hitters. I'm Reggie Wade.
I'm Eric Celia.
Y'all come back now, you hear?